We are so glad you're here this morning. This is how I preach behind a fence. Isn't this fun? We have a series going on here called Don't Feed the Animals, and I'll continue on today. My name is Jarvis, if we haven't met yet, and my wife Jane, beautiful wife Jane, is around here someplace. There she is up there. And we are so glad to have you this morning. This is a special Sunday for us. We wanted to kick off kind of the fall festivities with kind of a party. Does that sound good? And what better way to draw people into church and then to have food smells outside? Anybody else smell that when you came in? I'm like starving now. You got the popcorn and the food working. And so we are so glad you're here this morning. You know, here's what's cool is that we got a special treat for all of you after service, but especially for kids and youth. And these are these little tickets. So all the kids in Kids Church right now, Watermark Kids, we have a special guest in there, and he's making balloon animals, and he's also going to ride a unicycle around. Isn't this crazy? And this is this question he asked. Is there a place, do you have high enough ceilings in Watermark Kids that we can do a 20-foot-high unicycle? And I said, no, but we do in a sanctuary. But he might do it outside later. But he's in there, and the kids are going to have fun today. But everybody's going to receive one of these tickets. And so what it is free Leo's. So all you got to do is get these tickets. There's Leo's ice cream for free. There's Lulu's food truck, and everybody. And here's how it works. Everybody from little kids to 12th grade get free Leo's ice cream. Everybody say yeah. And then you get popcorn from Kinneyland. Everybody say yeah. And then you get food. There's a little basket from Lulu's food truck. Everybody say yeah. And so, but if you're an adult, it's still options for you, but you got to pay. So does that make sense? There is food. I think they have chicken. There's candy. Make sure you get ice cream's $1. I think that's what it is. And some of the best popcorn ever with Kinneyland. I'm just telling you, it's a great event. And if you want some chicken waffles, food truck, it's awesome. And then, of course, bouncy houses. And when you get outside, there's going to be animals, petting zoo, and pony rides. And what they told me is adults can't jump on the ponies. I've already asked. So, but that's it. If you're a youth student in here and you haven't got his ticket, if you're in junior high and senior high and you're not in kids, my friend Nicole has these tickets, and she'll be out here afterwards, or she'll be at the connection table afterwards, the next step table. So grab those. If it's your first time here, we are so glad you're here this morning. You are a special guest, and we hope you get connected. And our biggest thing is we just want you to fall in love with the Lord and fall in love with people and fall in love with church and the community. We are so glad you're here this morning. And we have these connection cards just like this. Some of you didn't get bulletins. You know why? Because we ran out. Isn't that crazy? That's never happened. So this is a good Sunday. But we have these connection cards. And if you bring this connection card back to the connections table, we'll get you a free gift card, a free T-shirt, but we want to meet you and connect with you. You can actually put this in an offering when it comes around too, and that way there's another way for we can connect with you that way too. But we're just glad you are here this morning, and it's pretty special to have you with us. I'm going to talk about offering quick, but here's a little different. We're going to talk about offering. And because this is coming around the corner, and it's really funny for me to talk about this because it's funny. I don't know why, but there's a thing that happens within churches called pastor's appreciation. And so now some new people are going to be like, oh, he wants us to appreciate him already. No. I want you to appreciate everybody. But here's what we decided. If you want to know something about Watermark, is one of the things we do is live to give. And one of the things we talk about is in order to be blessed, and we don't pray, God bless us. One of our prayers is, God, how can we be a blessing? Is this true, church people? Amen. And we really believe that we are in a type of situation in our church that we came to Stillwater not to be the church, but to be work with the kingdom. And we work with other churches, and we are not in a church building business. We are in a kingdom building business. Is this true too? And so one of the things that we talk about quite a bit is saying we want to be a blessing to people in our community, but also to other churches. So what we're going to start doing during Pastor's Appreciation Month, which is October, is every year we're going to adopt a different pastor in our community in October. Does this sound good? So there's going to be a picture in a second of a guy named Tim Caspers, and he doesn't know anything about this. And here's the cool thing about this. Tim is a good friend of mine. He's at Crosswinds Church. He's been there for several, like I think over 10 to 15 years. And he's a great guy. He's had some medical issues, so please don't tell him this, that we're doing this. But he doesn't know it, but we're working with his church. But Watermark, you guys, Watermark Church, we've already got a hotel for him and his wife for the weekend. We've got gift cards for them, and we're going to bless them. And we're trying to get like a massage thing and everything. All we want to do is give them a relaxing 2 or 3 days. How does that sound? Free food downtown, everything. So if you enjoy this idea, just clap your hands really fast if you're with me here. And the reason, here's the deal. The reason we do this is because I want us to think we are, what if 10 years from the road we've already done this every year? That means we are blessed 10, because if you can bless the pastor, you bless the church. How does this sound, right? And so we believe in giving, not because we just say, hey, money's, you know what I'm saying, we want money, but because we just want to give. We just want to be a blessing. We want to help the community. We want to add value. Does that make sense? So if we can have the ushers come forward this morning. And we just believe in missions. Right now, as we speak, we have our church plant in El Salvador right now having their church service. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to pray from this morning. If you want to give online, you can do it that way. If you want to give by text giving, you can give that way too. But we just encourage, if it's your first time here, you don't need to give at all. You just come and relax. But we just want your connection cards, and that's it. Lord, we just pray. We lift up Crosswinds Church and Tim Casper this morning, and we just pray, even as Pastor's Appreciation is coming up, Lord, we lift him and his family up to you in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to be a blessing to him. Help us to be a blessing to in all that ways. We thank you for our church in El Salvador, and we thank you for what you're doing down there, and we just pray in Jesus' name that you keep on doing miracles and life change, and we just thank you, Lord, for the offering. Lord, it says in Scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, I'm going to just pray, it's more blessed for us to be a blessing. And we give back to you, Lord, with a grateful heart because you've given so much to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love it that we have animals come into our church today. Isn't it awesome? So when you get your food and you get your chicken today, don't feed it to the animals. Does that make sense? I don't think the petting zoo would like that. But we are just excited, and I've been doing a series called Don't Feed the Animals. Before I get into it, I just want to say one thing. If you're with us and you want to get involved and you want to know more about church and you're saying, hey, I want to get involved with Watermark, we do a thing called Blueprints, and Blueprints is actually this Thursday night. So if you're interested in getting more involved and just serving and knowing our church, come talk to me or somebody at Connections Table, and we would love to let you know about Blueprints this week. But going on, we are doing a series called Don't Feed the Animals, and because my mentors told me a long time ago is said this. He says, whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. So hopefully what you're feeding in your life is the healthy things. So many times, as a youth pastor, especially a lot of the students would come up to me who were in college and high school and ask me about their dating relationships. They would say, well, I always end up with just the bad guys. Or I just, you know what I'm saying, why is it I just end up with the guys who are jerks? And what are you putting out there? You know what I'm saying? And what are you trying to attract? And what's going on here? And part of it is just saying, whatever you feed in your life will grow. Whatever you starve dies. And there's a story that goes like this. It says, one evening, an old Cherokee Indian told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, my son, the battle's between two wolves. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, and it's sorrow, pride, regret, greed, arrogance, guilt, resentment, lies, pride, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson looked up at the grandpa, and he said this. And he says, thought about it, and he asked the grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old man looked at the son, got the little grandson, and he says, the one that you feed. the one that you feed wins. So whatever, when it comes down to it, when you look at it, whatever you are giving the most attention to in your life is what's growing. Whatever you're giving the most attention to, good or bad, what we focus on is growing. And so today, so we've been talking about fear. We've been talking, last week we talked about anger. And this week we're talking about worry. Anybody in here have ever dealt with worry in your life? Just show of hands. Anybody ever dealt with it before? Oh, so all of us. And what's amazing about it is saying this is, I'm just going to read a story, and here's how it goes. It says, for 10 years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep every night because she feared that somebody was robbing her house. A burglar was inside. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate the situation. When he got there, he found a burglar, and he said, good evening, man, said the guy. I'm pleased to finally see you. He says, come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. Worry is this. Worry is a thought. Some people say that, I just looked this up. It says, worry is a thought. Anxiety is a feeling plus thoughts. And stress is sometimes a physical condition, a reaction that happens to us. In Greek, the word for worry in Greek means, this is interesting, means to divide. Isn't this interesting? When you break it down, the word in Greek of worry means to divide. This is what I find interesting too. In German, if you break the word down of worry, it means to strangle. It means to take hold. It's like a snake wrapping around and squeezing and strangling its prey to death and losing your breath because of the worry. That's what it says. It says to strangle. It's an anxiety that pulls. Anybody ever done those finger trap things, those Chinese finger trap things? I hate those things. You put your fingers in, and every time you stress, you get your finger out, it's worse. And one of my friends put them on all my fingers one time, and I was just like, it was like the worst idea ever. And so it has to do with this anxiety of that stress and that worry that pops up. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it is due. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it's due. Some people are just waiting. This is interesting. Some people are spending their lives just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Some people literally wake up in the morning saying, well, I wonder what's going to go wrong today. I wonder what's bad going to happen today. And we spend our lives worrying about the what ifs and the worries about the things that could happen. Here's what's interesting. One of the things I read this week was in a medical journal, and here's what it says. It says, the title of the thing was Sick with Worry. And this is what the guy says. He goes, medically speaking, physically speaking to your body, there's a few things that people that worry, here are some side effects that happen when you worry physically. It could weaken your immune system, too much worry. It could bring high blood pressure. It could upset your stomach with ulcers and acid reflux, bring anxiety. It could increase your heart rate. You can have panic attacks, increase the blood sugar levels. It can impair formation of new fast-growing cells, and which could lead to loss of hair or going bald. It could bring irritable bowel problems, backaches, could cause fertility issues, can disrupt new memories and make it hard to recall past memories. It can bring tension, headaches, or migraines. It can create sleep problems. It can create chronic fatigue syndrome, respiratory situation, worsening of skin conditions, and many other things. If I were to tell you right now, the doctor said in this paragraph, he says, if I can come to you right now and says, I can make you physically healthier by doing one thing. And he says, everybody said, would you do it? And everybody's like, yeah, I would do it. Stop worrying so much. Because of the weight of it actually constrains your body. Because here's what I find out in our church service. When I talk to people in our church at the prayer time, people say, I feel a weight on my shoulders. I just feel burdened and I feel heavy. And I feel like I'm carrying the world on my shoulders. And I said, and this is what this does to you. The more worried, here's the irony, the more worried we are about our health of our heart, the more damage that will do to your heart. Some people, I've met somebody who says, I'm just worried I'm going to have a heart attack someday. But here's the irony. The more you worry about it, the more chances you have to have heart issues. The more worried you are about losing your memory, chances are you might lose your memory. The irony is the dangers of worrying too much may be greater than what you're worried about. Isn't that the irony? The dangers of what you're worrying too much about may be the cause of it. So what's interesting about this is this. Now, I'm a guy who, like, anybody else likes to eat? Like, anybody? Like, I'm excited for today. I'm excited to go out and meet you guys, of course, and just eat. I'm excited to eat. But here's what's interesting. I am not the most physically in shape guy. You know what I'm saying? I know some of you look at me and say, he's close to Brad Pitt, but not there yet. Right? Like, you just say, he's that level, but not there. You look at me and say, he rides a horse, and his hair is in the wind, and but I'm not there. So what's interesting, though, is that we live in this culture right now that everything is trying to be health. And this is the irony. Now listen, if you're trying to be healthy, I'm saying you're good. I'm not saying you're bad. But here's the irony. We live in this vegan, vegetarian, low-calorie, low-fat, low-taste culture. Right. Right. This is all good. It's fine. Like, I try to watch my calories. I get it. But here's the irony. You know, so everything's organic or gluten-free. Everything's this way. And this is totally fine. But here's what I find irony, is that you can be the most healthy person over here and not eat anything sugary, anything that comes from process, anything over here, and you can be total organic. And you're physically, what goes into your body is healthy. Here's the problem, though. If you are a person who can't control your worry and your doubt and your fear, the problem is whatever you do over here is not going to be helping as much as it could. Is this making sense? Because I'm just saying, listen, what if we become both? What if, because people say, well, I'm just healthy. You know what I'm saying? I'm only eating this. I'm only doing this. That's great. But at the same time, you overstress and you overworry in your body and you're overload and you're not taking time for yourself. What's causing is it doesn't matter, because if your mind's not healthy, your body's not being healthy. So some of us have pretty good minds and our body needs to be better. Some people, your bodies are okay, but you need to get better with your minds. I'm just saying it works full circle. That's why Jesus was saying in Scripture, don't judge this person based upon this, because you have this issue and they might not have this issue. Can I just say this? We all have issues. If you don't believe I have issues, ask my wife. I have major issues. I do. Like, I just have issues. And so the part of it is this, is just saying, listen, Lord, how can you work with me in these areas? Matthew 6:25 says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. If is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow and reap or store away in barns? And it goes on to say, stop worrying. And listen, and it also says, don't worry about anything. And this is like one of the hardest commands. Listen, I told one of the commands, one of the first weeks was don't fear. One of the commands that was said over and over in Scripture more times than any other command was do not fear. I am with you. The one that comes up to a close third or second is do not worry. Do not be anxious. I am with you. Now, all this health thing, I'm just going to say this. It's good. It's good to be healthy. It's good to make decisions. It's good to make diet decisions. It's good to run. It's good to make these things. But on the flip side, listen, if you are physically a specimen and you have muscles bursting at the seams, like my friend here, Michael Mendez, you just have muscles everywhere. But yet, at the same time, you are a jerk to your wife and your kids and your neighbors, there's something off. Is this making sense? Like, if you're impatient and you're just mean person and spiritually you're not growing and you deal with worry and stress and anxiety and you can't sleep, there's something that needs to be. And so part of the deal I want to work through today in this whole series is we got to change the way we think. If we can change the way we think, we can move forward in this. Here's what's interesting. There's a quote when it says, when I look back on all these worries, I remember a story of an old man who said, on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. And it was Winston Churchill. There was a study that was done by a school, and this is a really interesting study. And this is, I think this is going to be on the screen. There it is. I want you to read this with me. 40% of our worries never happen. Think about that. 40% of the things that we worry about never happen. 30% of our worries are about the past. Okay, so that means as of right now, 70% of the things that we worry about, we can't do anything about anyway. And it says this, it says 12% of our worries are needless worries about your health that worrying about is not helping out anyway. And it says 10% of our worries are significant or just insignificant or petty concerns, and 8% of our worries are really legitimate concerns. 8% of the things that we think about are actually worries that we should be concerned about. So here's a question. What's got you worried today? Finances, the economy, blood moon, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your neighbors, your career. You know what I'm saying? What's got you worried today? So I'm just going to share a few things about worry, and then we're going to end here. Number one, worry is worthless. You might think, well, what do you mean it's worthless? Here's the deal. Worry is worthless because worry does not empty tomorrow's sorrow. It empties today of strength. Worry has never solved the problem. Worry has never paid a bill. Worry has never cured any illness. Worry has never saved anybody. Worry has never done anything. Worry is worthless. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Let me repeat that. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but doesn't get you anywhere. Worry steals and robs what God has given you today. It consumes your thoughts of thinking of things that God doesn't want you to think of. Proverbs 11:25 says this, an anxious heart weighs a man down. And here's the truth. You want to know something? Worry is a learned mentality. Worry is a learned mentality. This is a scary truth to all parents and leaders and you in leadership roles. Because here's the deal. The more that you worry, and you might say, well, I don't say it out loud. But even the way you carry yourself, if you are a person who is a worry person, listen, you are teaching the people that you are leading and you are teaching your kids to worry. Now, the truth is, if worry is learned, then it can be untaught at the same time. It can be unlearned. But part of it is, if I ask you right now, if you're just a worry person, some of you are like, all I ever do is worry. I just think, I'm like a great grandma. All I ever do is worry all the time. I just wake up worrying. It's just my nature. I just worry. But even though it's not your nature, it doesn't mean it's something that should be done. So worry is learned, but it can be unlearned. Worry is also a control issue. People who are often obsessed with trying to control their circumstances are people who are people of worry, who don't allow God to come in to do things. Worry is actually playing God and saying, I can control it and not you. It's taking that verse in scripture that says, be still and know that I'm God. And that's what God is saying. Be still. Stop fretting. Stop living in fear. Stop being nervous. Be still and know that I'm God and you're not. The truth about that scripture verse is just realizing, listen, I'm not in charge. Be still and know that I'm God, that he is the Lord. Worry is trusting more in not my own abilities, but his faithfulness. And here's a verse that we're going to read today. And then we're going to get 10 more minutes and we're done. Philippians 4:6-8. And this is, if you're taking notes, if you're writing stuff down, I want you to focus. I want you to meditate. I want this verse to be printed out. I want you to take this verse and just do devotions on this week to do whatever you can, because there is so many things in this that we need in our lives. And here's how it goes. Don't worry, underline if you can, about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. So it says, don't worry, pray, tell God what you need, thank him, and then he will give you his peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Here's this. Fix your thoughts. It's like going to a mechanic. Fix my car. He's saying, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So here it is. This is what the verse does. It gives us steps. Number one, steps to God's peace, pray. Pray. There's a life insurance company that did its study, a life insurance company did a study and learned that people who attend church once a week live on average 5.7 years longer than the general public. Isn't that crazy? You would think it'd be opposite. People are just ready to get to heaven, right? They live 5.7 years to get to heaven. And they asked the insurance guy, and they said, why? He goes, maybe because people who attend church every week are more likely to pray instead of worry. There's two things I want to bring up right now, and I think it's this, because when I say the word worry, some of you, especially moms or parents are saying, or grandparents or family members are saying, well, shouldn't I be concerned? You're saying if my kids go out with their friends and I don't know where they're at, shouldn't I be concerned? Shouldn't I be worried about them? Yes, here's the problem. Everybody should be concerned. But did you know there's a vast difference between worry and concern? See, concern is either going to lead you to pray or concern is going to lead you to worry. So every time you get concerned about something, when you take it to the Lord, you are praying. When you take it to yourself, you live in worry. Isn't this truth? So it's okay to be concerned. You're saying, well, should I be, my car is in the shop. Should I be concerned? Yeah, take it in. If it's not running right, take it in. You're concerned your car is not working. Do something about it. Well, my kids are out. I don't know where they are. I mean, my kids are gone. Should I do something about it? Yes, be concerned. Don't just live life, whatever. Do whatever you want to do. Be concerned. But there's a difference between worry and concern. Here's the difference, too. Worry distracts us. Concern focuses us. Worry disables planning. Concern helps us to plan. Worry blurs our vision. Concern clarifies our purpose. Worry tends to give up. Concern perseveres. Worry exaggerates. Concern pinpoints problems. Worry focuses on self. Concern cares for others. Worry focuses on the problem. Concern, this is interesting, focuses on the solution. Concern will bring you either to prayer or to worry, which is the truth. It says, in everything, pray and petition by thanksgiving. So I'm going to tell you this about prayer. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If you're worried about it, it's worth praying about. If it keeps you up at night, then get out of your bed and start pacing the floor and start praying for it. I'm telling you this. Being in and living in a Christian home, one of the biggest fears I have in my life are praying parents. You know why? Because this guy could not get away with anything in high school. Right? Especially a praying mom. I'm literally, I'm telling you, there'd be nights I'll be about ready to do something stupid, and all of a sudden, I come home. Maybe I didn't do it or think about doing it. I'll come home, and my mom would just be like, how did your night go? Pretty good. What'd you do? And she knew. There's something about it. She just knew to be praying for the kids, be praying. And there's just something inside of it. And I think if we're worried about it, then be praying about it. If you have time to worry, you have time to pray. Prayer either takes the place of worry or worry will take the place of prayer. Think about that. Your prayer will either take the place of worry or worry will take the place of prayer. So first, go to the Lord in prayer. Next is be thankful. I'm not going to say too much about this because in the next few months in Thanksgiving time, we're going to talk about a thankful series. But be thankful when he says, go to the Lord in thankfulness and thanksgiving. That doesn't mean you go to the Lord with turkey and gravy. That means you go to the Lord with thankful hearts and you say, God, you've given me so much and I give back to you. Lord, you've trusted me with this. You've trusted me with Sadie and Sawyer and Charlie, my kids. You've trusted me with Watermark. And Lord, I give it back to you. Did you know something? There's a stat out there that says that if you have a TV and two cars, and you live in a house, and you have a closet, and you have change someplace in your house, coins and change, that you're the top 12 richest person in the world. 12%. That means we always compare ourselves to our neighbors, and if you want to start playing comparing, compare yourselves with the rest of the world. Just the fact that you are here today and you're about ready to have popcorn after church service and you're about ready to go out and have some big old chicken and waffles and ride a ponies and all this kind of stuff, you are the 12%. You 12%! This should make us wake up in the morning going, thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray to you and I'm thankful for you for all you've given me. You've given us health. And even when I'm not healthy, you've given me life. And even you've given me finances. Even my finances are doing good. You've given me something over my head. You've given me what I need. Prayer, thankfulness, and last one is this, changing the way you think. You feed your mind healthy thoughts. We allow so much junk into our minds. Garbage. Between things we listen to, watch, all this kind, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. But what people say to us, these lies and different things, we just allow junk into our lives. We just allow this stuff in our lives, and it eats away at us. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Ooh, let me repeat that. So a man or woman, you ever heard that phrase, what you think is who you are? So a person thinks in their heart, that's who they're becoming. In their mind. Because if you can transform the way you think, you can transform the way you act. If you can transform the way you think. The root cause of stress is the way I choose to think. Whatever I think about is what I'm becoming. So if you don't like where you're headed, maybe you got to change what you're thinking about. Change the direction of your thought life by changing your thinking. So here it is. Listen, I know I'm giving you like three steps here. If you do this and you do this and you do this, and then this would happen. But isn't Scripture true? It says if you pray and you thank the Lord, and all of a sudden, if you fix your thoughts, and it says this, then you will get a peace. And in some translations, it says this, God will give you his peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean, Pastor? This is what it means. It means in the midst of your storms, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of divorce and health issues and financial issues and gossip issues and friend issues and everything else, that you, things that you don't understand and the things that you can't fix yourself, we worry about things we can't fix. You know what you can fix? Your thoughts. We keep on worrying. This is what the devil wants us to do. We keep on worrying things about we can't fix. And God says, stop worrying about the things you can't fix and be concerned about the things that you are responsible for. Instead of waking up in the morning just hoping, man, what's going to happen today? You know, my shoe's going to fall off today or something bad's going to happen at work today. Or, you know what I'm saying? God's after me today. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? This person hates me and this person hates me. And, you know what I'm saying? You're just talking about all these bad things are going to happen. What if you just wake up and just say, God, you are good. I seek you this morning, and I'm thankful because I'm part of the 12%. You've given me so much. Why can I not be thankful? Because you've given me so much. And Lord, I just want to fix my thoughts on the things of you, things that are pure, admirable, admirable, faith, hope, love, and that's what I want to do today. Because I'm telling you, if you think like this, bad things are going to happen today, bad things are going to happen today, bad things are going to happen today. Guess what's going to happen? You're always going to find a hole to fall into if you're looking for a hole. Is this not true? Adam, can I just share the story I told you? Is that okay? Adam's my man. He's awesome. Love this guy. One of my first conversations with you one night, he was going through some situations. And I said, have you ever heard the story about the donkey that fell in a hole? He goes, no. I said, let me tell you a story about, there's this old farmer that had his donkey, and there was this giant hole in his property. And so all of a sudden, by the way, worship team can come up here. Dan and Brina, there's this hole, and a donkey falls in this hole, and the only person out there was a farmer. And the farmer looks down this hole, sees his donkey, sees the mule, and says, I need to get this donkey. If I don't get this donkey out, it's going to die. And all of a sudden, he goes, how am I going to get this donkey out? And it finally occurred to him, I'm going to get my shovel. And it's funny. He goes to get a shovel, and what he starts to do is this. He takes dirt, and he starts throwing it on the donkey. throwing it on the donkey. You might be thinking, man, that's really mean, starting to bury the donkey. Yeah, bury your evidence. Just kidding. What happened was this. As the dirt's coming off, what the donkey is doing, as the dirt falls on the back of the donkey shakes off the dirt, and every time the dirt falls to the ground, the donkey steps on the new dirt and keeps on rising and keeps on rising. So all the farmer does is keep on throwing dirt and keep on throwing dirt and keep on throwing dirt. And all of a sudden, all he keeps on doing is keep on rising and rising, and sooner or later, there's enough dirt in a hole that the donkey can just step out of the hole that he caused. Well, not caused, he fell into. And I think what's interesting about the story is so many times in our life, we're thinking, Jarvis, you don't understand, just junk is happening to me all the time. I just feel like there's dirt falling on me all the time. And all stuff is, God, why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God allowing this to happen to my family? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? You know what I'm more concerned about? Are people who live unscathed lives, who think everything is perfect. And it makes me wonder, dude, are you, because I'm telling you this, when you choose to follow a Lord, stuff is going to happen. When you choose to live a life of purpose, a life of destiny, and you make good choices, and you're saying, I want to pursue this thing. Listen, dirt's going to come your way, and things are going to happen, but what God has called us to do is rise above it. Rise above it. It says in Scripture, it says, and he goes, I believe this. Listen, I really believe this. The opposite of worry is peace. Somebody, my mentor told me this 3 years ago, and ever since then, I can't get on my head. We think in our terms that peace is actually the removal of something. We think peace is, Lord, if you just take this away, if you just take this addiction, if you just take this relationship, if you just take this hurt, if you just take this bondage, if you just take this away, I'll have peace. Lord, if you just show up and do what I need you to do, I've been praying for this. If you just remove this from me, I'll have peace. And so many people say, Lord, peace is a removal job. You want to know the truth? Peace has nothing to do with removing something. Peace is about somebody being in the presence with you. Peace is not the absence of somebody. Peace is the presence of someone. It says, Jesus Christ says, and God says, listen, when you turn to me, when you turn around and look at me, you will have my peace. Not your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. You will have my peace. You will have my strength. Peace is found in me, not in something being gone, but something being present. And so many times in our life, we're just saying, well, listen, I've heard people say, if I had $1 million, life would just be better. I'd live way better in peace. No, you wouldn't. Well, if I just felt better, I'd live in peace. I don't know. You know who the most peaceful people are? People who can find rest and peace in a storm like Jesus did in a boat, and when good times or bad times come, they still rely on the Lord. Circumstances don't dictate them. They say, I'm going to be drawn to the Lord. I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to pursue the Lord in these things. Peace is found in his presence. Everybody stand up. If you can, that'd be awesome. I wrote this down last night. I really believe, I'm being honest when I say this. The magazine called the Smithsonian did an article called The Age of Anxiety. I read this article, it's crazy. And they said no other generation has had more medication, more anxious, more worried, more everything, and they say it has to do with just social media and just knowing what's going on in the world and all this craziness that from the very young age is put in front of us of this, you know, things to be worried about. Be worried about this, be worried about this, be worried about this. And then you just have parents and families who are all constantly worried, and it's constantly just filled. It's called the age of anxiety, where people are just overly worried all the time about what ifs and all this kind of stuff. Listen, I'm not saying that God's going to take it all away and saying, you're done worrying after today. Listen, I'm praying for a church, I'm praying for me, myself, that God takes a new passion, gives us new passion and new concern for what he's given us concern about. We need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about our economy. We need to be concerned about our health. We need to be concerned about these things. It should bring us to action, though. It should bring us to prayer. It should bring us not to worry and not to doubt, but it should draw us to Him. If it just draws us to more conversations and debates and anger, we've already missed the points. If it's just drawing us to, you know, filling up social media and just spewing out our junk, you know what I'm saying? You're just stewing and spewing. But what it should do is just draw us to Him. Draw us to Him. So how do we say, how do you become less of a worrying mom? Become a praying mom. How do you become less of a worrying dad? Become a praying dad. Praying brother, praying sister. Praying boss, praying community. Listen, I can't preach to a church I'm not praying for. It's not right. And it's hard to lead a family that you're not praying for. It's hard to lead a community when you're not praying for. A peace is found in His presence. Isn't that amazing? Peace is found in His presence. Everybody just close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. If here this morning, and no one's looking around, it's not crazy, no one's, but if you're here this morning, you've listened to this, and you're saying, Jarvis, I don't have this peace. I don't have this peace in the Lord. I've never had it. And today I want to make a decision. I want to say, Lord, I need you today. I need your peace. And as Jarvis just said, your peace is found in you. And if that's true, I need peace in my heart. And I want to find you this morning. If that's you this morning, I want you just to raise your hand. No one's looking around. See it. That's awesome. See it. That's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Awesome. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I need your love. I need your peace. Lord, please forgive my sins. Help me to be a person of faith, not to live in worry, but live seeking you. Lord, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good, isn't He? Listen, we always end with some worship and prayer. If you need prayer this morning, I would love to pray with you. I'm just telling you, today, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and say, hey, Corin, don't worry tomorrow morning. Got it? You don't want me to waking up with you in the morning. I'm not pretty in the morning. It's just not me. It's like, it's not good. But you know what you need in the morning? You choose tomorrow morning. You choose today who you will serve. Choose today who you will serve. It says, my family, we will serve the Lord. Choose today what you will think about. Choose today what you will serve. Will you serve the Lord who says, be still and know I'm God? Or will you serve yourself of worry and saying, I'm in control, I got this. That's the difference. I'm telling you, the biggest battle in this room is not just moms, but it's dads. Because if you're like me, you think you can do it all yourself. You can do it. I got this. I don't need help. I can just figure this out. Right? We just want to do. But sometimes, listen, we just need to get out of the way and allow God to be God. Just say, God, I need you this morning. God, I need you this morning. So let's just seek Him this morning, and then I would love to pray with you. Let's get in some worship.